You're listening to the Casting for Fun podcast, the show that talks about entertainment, sports, music, and inspirational stories for all to enjoy. We're glad you could join us today. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Now, here is your host, Albert Pineda.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Casting for Fun podcast. I am your host, Albert Pineda, coming to you on Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. For this week's episode, a frequent collaborator and good friend of the show, Eddie Ramirez, returns, and we're discussing Skeleton Crew, the recently completed show on Disney Plus, Star Wars show. Obviously, we love Star Wars. We're a big fan of the brand for the most part. there are some hit and misses, obviously, when it comes to Star Wars. We'll get into that right now. But the Skeleton Crew was very enjoyable. I thought it was very fun. Again, if you're a fan of the 80s movies like E.T. and The Goonies, I think you'll absolutely enjoy, love this show. And yeah, so Eddie and I have a fun time discussing it. It's been a while since Eddie's been on, so it's always great to catch up with Eddie. I did want to make a correction from the previous week's episode when I discussed Captain EO. I discussed Captain EO because obviously Captain EO also influenced the Skeleton Crew in a few certain areas. That I played a YouTube clip that was talking about some of the influences or things in common that the two properties share. I had erroneously declared that George Lucas had participated in the production process for the Skeleton Crew based on the information that I received on the internet. Who knew that the internet can be wrong? I think I remember hearing rumors that George Lucas was possibly going to be involved in some capacity with the Star Wars project and that it was speculated that the Skeleton Crew would be it. But as it turns out, no, he is not. He did not participate in the writing process for the Skeleton Crew. So that audio clip I played from last week's YouTube audio clip that I played of last week's episode about Captain EO was incorrect when they stated that George Lucas participated in both projects. He only was involved with Captain EO, not the Skeleton Crew. So I just wanted to make that tiny correction. Anyway, so I'm excited for upcoming projects. I mean, I'm going to give you just a heads up that next week, a good friend of mine who's never been on the podcast before, Sammy Haddad, is going to be joining me to celebrate the 40th anniversary of The Breakfast Club. So I'm really excited to make that announcement. And for 2025, I'm going to be looking to have some brand new guests, people who've never been on before. As I mentioned when I first started the podcast, I love the idea of podcasting because it gives me an excuse to reach out to friends who I haven't talked to in a while and to geek out and share about our common interests. So yeah, I definitely want to have new people on the show who've never been on before. And I'm really excited to have Sammy on to talk about The Breakfast Club next week. So stay tuned for that. And really quick, I also wanted to share this really cool announcement that I just saw on the internet. One of my favorite obscure bands from the 90s, the Dancehall Crashers, are reuniting and they're going to be playing the Warped Tour this summer. So really excited for that news and possibly new music from the band. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, you should definitely check out the Dancehall Crashers if you've never heard of them. Probably you have not. And their debut album, Lockjaw, is celebrating its 30th anniversary this summer in August. So I plan to cover that album here on the Casting for Fun podcast. Well, anyway, that's enough of me rambling. Please enjoy my conversation with Eddie Ramirez. We're discussing the Skeleton Crew here on the Casting for Fun podcast. So welcome back to the show, Eddie Ramirez, good friend. Good to see you, man. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you for the invite. I'm super excited to be back. It's a new year, lots of new shows that have already happened, like we're about to talk about, but just looking forward to all the content coming out. I'm excited. Glad to be back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 2025 is going to be a very eventful year. In fact, the previous year was pretty awesome, too. And then we look at something like The Skeleton Crew, which technically was released, you know, right as the year was ending. So right into the Christmas season and then going into like the first or second week of January. So, Skeleton Crew. I know we've been looking forward to this one for a while, right?
Yeah. You know what? With all the Star Wars content that's come out over like the let's say 2.5 years. I mean, starting with, you know, Andor and Mandalorian way before that, it's like, this is one of those I was actually really looking forward to because of the time period they chose. It just characters that I wasn't familiar with, which is good. I like new. You know, we want new in Star Wars, right? So, and then the aspect of it as a kid, seeing it through the eyes of them, right? So, like, definitely the trailers for it really got me excited for it. So, I'm definitely happy to talk about this one.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I totally on board with what you just said, Eddie, because again, Star Wars content always I shouldn't say always good. I mean, it's hit or miss, right? Depending on your point of view and who you ask.
Ah, I see that. A little Obi-Wan.
but yeah, I mean, the premise for the Skeleton Crew, when I first heard about it, seems really intriguing to me. Just adventure with kids, drawing inspiration from like 80s classics like The Goonies and E.T.
Yeah.
A brand new concept. The fact that, I mean, you don't have to have like, laser battles or like, a sort lightsaber battles. It's just kids on an exploration adventure through a mass galaxy that they can just see.
Exactly.
So the concept was very new and intriguing, something we've never really seen in Star Wars. And then once I saw we saw the final product, I mean, to be honest, I was very happy with the show that we got.
Me too, dude. It makes me happy that both of us finally can appreciate happily some Star Wars content from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, let me ask you this before we jump into the show. When you saw they released like two, tra well, like three trailers, but like let's say like two big main trailers for the promotions of the show. What were your vibes going into it? Like, what got you excited about what you were seeing as like the teasers going in?
I like that they didn't really reveal much as far as I can remember. I mean, I had to think back to those trailers, but as far as I know, they revealed nothing about, again, massive spoilers for the show, but
No, they
nothing
did
at
not.
all about
Yeah.
like the fact that the kids are from a planet that no one else knows about, that's very held secretive, and that they have to try and find their way back. It just kind of seemed just an adventure of kids out in space. And in the Skeleton Crew, I guess the title kind of suggested that it was going to be about pirates and piracy in the Star Wars galaxy. So
Right.
without really revealing too much, I think it just kind of sparked my interest based on the fact that, yes, I enjoy the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, I enjoy the Goonies, I enjoy E.T. So mixing all that together, Star Wars as well, just seemed like a really like awesome like melting pot of a really awesome entertainment show to get into.
I 100%. I think the vibe of I'm gonna age us a little bit here. I think if you're in your mid 30s and up, I think you, even though we're mostly 90s kids, late 80s, we still have the vibes of Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, like all those like oohs and ahs of like adventure and fantasy through their eyes, those creators, right? So definitely this show really, at least when the promotion of it definitely was hitting those marks for me, where I was like, oh man, something about this, like I don't even care what it is, it just makes me feel like I gotta be a kid again and just see like what is it to be a kid and just travel the galaxy in that type of galaxy. Like that's pretty wild. So it was fun. I definitely went into it with those kind of that kind of hype, I should say.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So as it's customary here on the show, we're going to insert audio clips from the show itself and then have a discussion about key story parts, plot points, story arcs, things of that nature. Before we get to that, though, I do want to discuss on and touch on some of the Easter eggs, because this show was chock full of really cool, obscure Easter eggs and references to 80s movies, which, again, I thought was just really awesome and fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to go over what you got, man. You always know how to find the gold nuggets.
So again, I think you'll appreciate this. I mean, I think we talked about this many, many years ago on the animated toy show Robot Chicken, when they did the Star Wars episodes, and they're te teasing and making fun of the wizard concept. Like that's a cool thing to say.
Put me down.
That was pretty wizard, wasn't it, son?
What?
I'm bringing it back.
And the fact that they brought it back was so funny. So for those who aren't aware, in episode one, The Phantom Menace, Anakin's boyhood friend says wizard, like, "Oh, that's so wizard, Annie."
This is so wizard, Annie.
And then this is so funny that the kids from Skeleton Crew would bring that back and use that as a ad adjective to describe something that's cool and awesome.
Bike said the droids hate me. I saw your bike. It's totally wizard.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you're bringing that one up because my wife and I, when we were first watching the show, we're like, wait a minute. And then after that episode ended, we kind of went back and reflected, like, oh my gosh, they really did bring that back. And because I never heard Wizard until, yeah, Phantom Menace and then Harry Potter, because I thought it was like a British thing. So I was like, all right, I guess that's a thing in Star Wars. Like, they really go for that. So it was, yeah, we definitely heard that one and kind of like smirked.
Yeah. And then there's some also really obscure, like old Star Wars references that like you had to go really into the deep cut stuff from the 80s to appreciate and know. So some of the kids may not get today. But for instance, I don't know if you remember the Ewok Adventure movies for TV.
Oh, God. Oh, do you want me to remember? Okay.
No, if
Yes, I
you do,
remember
I
that.
mean, well, you remember
No,
like.
I do remember. I just, it's in that abyss of my mind in Star Wars.
Well,
I try
it's
not.
kind of
It
funny.
was traumatizing, man. That's a messed up story.
No, it is. It is. I apologize to the listeners. Like the second one, like the little girl Sindel, like you know, her and her family, they crash land on Endor. They have an adventure in the first movie. The second movie begins with her whole family getting killed right in front of her, which.
Yeah, dude, I remember seeing that as a kid. I'm like, what's going on?
But in that second made for TV Ewoks movie, there was like that little tiny rodent thing called Teek that could run really fast. They brought it
Yeah,
back. They used him as one of
they did.
the second episode, like transporting people to that pirate space station, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
And then
they definitely.
what was the other one? So they bring back holiday special stuff too. Like in the first episode, Neil and his family, they're watching like the Star Wars holiday special, like the characters on the hologram, if you caught that one.
I did not know it was from the holiday special.
Oh,
I
okay.
mean, I've seen the holiday special, but did it in that moment? No, I didn't. I actually have to go back and see that one.
Yeah, go back and rewatch the first episode when he's
Yeah.
like, watching a hologram like on when he's home and like the hologram characters are like they're mimicking acting out the a certain sequence from the holiday special, which I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, that's okay, dude. That's a deep cut.
Oh yeah, and then also like so not directly related to Star Wars, but there were some references to Captain EO, which I thought was kind of fascinating too. Like Captain EO's sidekick Fuzzball, the flying like
Oh,
beyond rodent thing, appears
yeah.
as a caged creature in the space station in episode two.
My gosh, dude, you definitely went deep on this stuff. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So for the previous week, I just recently reviewed Captain EO, which you can catch on YouTube, just to catch some of those references. So it was kind of cool. Like, and then Captain EO on his crew, he has like an elephant creature, and I guess the Neo character was maybe slightly inspired by him. I mean, that might be a stretching a little bit, but
I can see that. I can see. Yeah, I can see that. Neil, shout to Neil. To me, awesome character, by the way.
oh yeah, Neo, I think was a really
I
cool.
knew right away the trailer. Like, I'm gonna like this character. This kid is like legit. Like so many friends I have, and if I was on an adventure, Neil is a representation of so many of my friends right now. I
Oh
love it.
yeah, very cool. So those were kind of the ones that I spot. I don't know if there was other ones that you had noticed as well. I mean, there's so many of the show, but those were some
Yeah, so obviously, I have a bad feeling, was never fully said, but it was thrown out there. Definitely that was one. I think that was actually, I think in mid-season they kind of throw that line out. They definitely had a little Anakin moment with the kids. So the second to last episode where Jod gets the lightsaber and he flashes the lightsaber out, like he turns it on. The kids are all lined up, and then they just show the blue lightsaber across the screen, but the kids, scared at it. Obviously, Anakin, blue lightsaber, Master Anakin, what are we gonna do? So there's that little throwback to episode three with the kids and a blue lightsaber pending doom. So I saw that one right away, and I'm like, oh yeah, there you go. I mean, honestly, from there, it's just Old Republic references. I was so happy about the references to Old Republic. I'm huge about it, way back to the books, way before like the games came out. I was huge on it. So anything of the Old Republic, what to me is just like, like glory, like, yes, please talk about it. So the references to Old Republic, I really do like. Because there are mentions of jewels of the Old Republic, planets that were, heavy in resources, highly valuable. The Empire obviously always wanted to take them, but that's always like a thing in Old Republic lore. So to hear that, and they played to that with that, and not all the at whatever other planets that were mentioned, the other six, I believe it was,
Yeah, I think so.
then yeah, like I really did like that, because that's a big thing. And the storms of like how the planet and it was protected by the storms, that's a throwback to oh my gosh, the Kessel Run, because you have to go through the maelstrom there. And a little bit of a reference to, if you th think about like any like Sith planets that have been, like hidden from the Republic, you have to take like like a secret passage through like maelstroms and hyperspace secret lanes. So all those little like references, like that's a common theme in Star Wars, which I really like, that why would a planet be so hidden? So things like that, like it was always nice to see like another reference of a secret planet. It's a little niche, it's a shtick, but it works if especially you got a story that has some value behind it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I mean, we'll dive into it later as this episode progresses. But the reason why Aten is hidden, I think, was really fantastic. As you mentioned, Eddie, I mean, there's several instances like about why planets are hidden for whatever reason. I mean, the most famous that comes to mind would probably be Kamino from Episode Two. The fact that they were doing like they were creating the clone army there in secret and didn't want people to know. Of course, that one was just a simple like, hey, let's have Count Dooku use his Jedi credentials and erase the planet from the system.
A
But of
little,
course, yeah.
and Albert, a little reference to Kamino on that note. Thank you. You reminded me of the other one. I don't know if you caught it, but when the droids welcome Jod, they go, "We were afraid you would never arrive." It's kind of a reference to Kamino with when Obi-Wan
Oh,
arrives,
yeah.
and they were thinking that he was actually a different Jedi Master, at the time. So it's just a little okay.
Oh yeah, very cool.
Yeah, a little play on that. Yeah, thanks for reminding. I was trying to remember it, but I got caught up in Kessel Run at that point. So anyway.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, I watched the whole series twice just to catch all those other things. And
Oh,
the second time through,
there's
I
a
found
lot.
it even more enjoyable. So I definitely recommend people check out this show. So,
It's a really good show.
oh, very cool. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into some specific scenes from the show, which I think will be really fun to have a conversation about and to kind of get to know the characters a little better. Because again, the friendships between the four lead characters of Wynn, Neil, KB, and Fern, I thought was just really fantastic. I mean, the kids just had great chemistry. It was just fun to watch them play off of each other. So I want to insert this first scene. This is from the first episode when we get to see Wynn and Neil interact with each other for the first time.
You should not have come here.
Yeah, so right off the bat, it's just really fun to see the friendship between Wim and Neil. And that for those who aren't familiar, and just to add a little context to the scene we just heard, it's just the two of them confronting each other like on their way to school, and then they're just having like a play sword lightsaber battle, which is something that any Star Wars fan as a kid would absolutely have done with their friends. So I think it's just really cool to see that. And then we see just the background and everything that looks. I mean, it really the aesthetic design of this planet looks just like the neighborhood in E.T. So I mean, just to see that we go from the scene of like the pirates, trying to plunder some loot straight to like this scene of like a unknown planet that we've never seen before, but get to see like the normal life of just these everyday kids. I thought was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I really love like just to touch on like the scene of like what their city looks like, their living sets and all that. Like honestly, at first when I saw like the trailer, like okay, it looks like a regular like 1980s suburbia or something like that. I thought it might bug me. It never did. And you know what? Then I thought about it as like the show progressed. I'm like, you know what? Why wouldn't there be neighborhoods that look like that at somewhere in the galaxy? The galaxy is too big to not have something that may look something a little familiar to Earth. So to me, it's like I found that so accepting, so right for like the setup of that. And then the characters, yeah, like you have Wim, you have Neil, and they're having a sword fight. Like it's something like what fans of anything from fantasy to Star Wars, whatever, like that is a thing that happens. And in the right timing of like that group of kids, like just looking at them, you know, they look older too. So they look like they're too cool for that now. So they're just like, what are you guys doing? You know, just kind of just right timing for that. It was so solid.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And then again, this everything that they're going through is actually it's interesting. I mean, true, it gets maybe not super exciting on the level of like a space battle or like a gunfight, but the fact that they're in school, they're doing their studies, they're learning more about the planet, and then Wim he oversleeps and then he's got a rush to get to school, and when he does so, he accidentally discovers a spaceship right in the middle of the forest area. Of course, initially he thinks it's a Jedi temple, and then we learn more that Wim is just fascinated and just loves the concept of Jedis and looks up to them as like heroes. So again, that I thought was really interesting, cool as well.
Definitely. Like I think every kid of those four, as we'll talk about the rest of the characters, like we have a little bit of us in them. And I think Wim is just one of those where he just represents, you are so into that imagination of Star Wars or whatever it is, that yeah, some things are believable, some things are not. But either way, like you love it, you're fascinated. And just to see him, when it was believable when he would mess up on something or believe something that, you know, as an adult, no, that's not it. But you got to remember, as a kid, that's probably how you would have thought it too. So it was really nice to always see Wim go through those little trials too, especially in the first episode.
Oh, absolutely. So now I want to insert a clip that shows the four kids interacting with each other for the first time. So I think when they're there at the site of this like hidden Jedi temple slash actually a spaceship out in the wilderness, and we get to meet Fern and KB for the first time, or the four of them interact with each other for the first time. So let's go ahead and insert this scene.
Look. Look. There it is.
It's probably just buried junk.
In the middle of the woods?
Wait, where are we?
Wait a minute. Someone's been here.
Trespassers.
Ah!
State your names.
Wim! Neil!
You are in violation of protocol. Answer or be vaporized. What do you have a crush on at school?
Rena!
Sorry, Fern made me say.
Oops, hang on. Sorry, she made me do that. You.
Me.
Name's Fern. She's KB. And this is our find. We're gonna strip her for parts.
This is mine. I already claimed it.
My Icon claims he's unclaimed it from me and KB. No boys allowed.
No calling on claimsters without the claimer. Everyone on the whole planet knows that.
Fine. Then Icon claims he's now.
Claimsies!
Plastics. Thanks, KB.
They called claimsies. It checks out.
And now I call no boys.
This is ours! We came here to dig!
Oh, you can still dig. As our employees.
Okay.
Neil, we don't work for them.
They don't even know what this is. It's not a Jedi temple.
Yeah, huh, it is.
No, it's not. See, this was supposed to be a new neighborhood development. Grandpa told me all about it. Something went wrong with the sewage substation. The whole thing filled up with poison gas. Didn't kill them, though. It just made them crazy. They started to eat each other. There's no choice. They had to bury them alive. Trapped underground forever. Like Grandpa says, if you listen really closely, you can still hear them banging on the doors, trying to get out.
wasn't funny. You are so gullible because you're a liar.
Well, you guys do look pretty strong, though.
Yeah, way stronger than you.
Oh, well, that's too bad. We're not strong enough to take the rest of it out.
Fur. We can?
Yeah!
Yeah, that scene is so funny on so many levels. So, I mean, first, we get to see the four kids interact together for the first time because, I mean, they're the four leads of the show. It's drawing that inspiration again from, like, you know, the 80s properties like The Goonies and E.T. where, like, you know, the kids are, you know, sharing ghost stories with each other and actually believing it to be true. In fact, I mean, unfortunately, our podcast, you can't see the reaction. I mean, you can only hear the audio dialogue, but I mean, Neil's his facial expression when he's hearing this ghost story, he's like, it's just so funny to watch Neil's interaction to that. In fact, it's all the kids are just having fun with each other, and it's really cool to see.
Dude, all I immediately I just remember tap tap mic cord dodgeball. You know, like things like that, like, man, like just those are the things that I was so happy for them to just make sure that they inserted things that kids would say, self-created rules amongst like a community of kids, right? Like, what would a kid say to claim something that is not theirs, you know, but yet that is the standard amongst, you know, a certain age group. So just things like that, like, oh man, like I was just thinking grade school, like all over again. And they really, like, in just a matter of minutes, establish how the characters are, who they are to each other, and just like where that's going. And Neil, again, for me is a highlight because of his innocence. Poor Neil, man, this guy goes through it. Like, but I love it, man. Like, you got to have like those type of characters. One is caught up in fantasy. Another one's kind of like the follower to like the leader, self-proclaimed leader, to Mr. Oh my gosh, I am so scared right now. I just want to go home, but I'll go with you guys anyways, kind of thing. So it was really cool to see that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So then the plot starts to unfold, which is really cool. So then they turn on the spaceship on accident. They accidentally jettison out into space with Wynn's dad seeing him. So he's aware that the kids have vanished on the spaceship, and then more about the fact that, hey, I mean, the citizens of Aden, they can't leave the planet. So it's interesting as the plot unfolds, they have to try and find a way to get their kids, even though they can't leave the planet. The kids have no idea how to get back home. I mean, they don't even know how to fly a spaceship. So then the coordinates took them directly to, or I guess the droid that they activate takes them to that pirate station, right?
Right, right. It was already a pre-programmed autopilot. Yeah. From that ship that actually survived the crash, that we'll find out what that meant, you know, later down the line.
Yeah, and then while they're at the pirate station, they come across the Jod character, played perfectly, I think, by Jude Law. I mean, he it was like he was just having a blast having this role. He plays the turncoat / pirate immoral like character very, very well. So I thought it was excellent in his role in this movie, in the show.
I'll be honest with you. Of all the new content, I have him. You know what I was happy about? He was a great character that there was still hope in him. And as we go along in the episode, just a character that I was so happy ended up the way from start to finish, how he ended up and started. Fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So then once they join up with this character, Jod, who Wynn believes is a Jedi. And then again, they escape from the pirate station and they get to another planet in order to try and find the coordinates to get to Aden and discover more about why it's so hidden. We get to an interesting scene, which I think unravels more of the plot, where they meet an acquaintance, I guess loose acquaintance of Jod, right? The owl lady who they distrust each other because he's a pirate. so she explains quite a bit of the plot, which I think is really interesting to dive into. So let's dive into this scene.
Right this way, just don't touch anything.
Hi, Kim. The place looks great. I see you've been cleaning up.
Yes, my growing collection. Trinkets and tokens from a thousand different worlds.
There's a thousand worlds?
There's more than that, my girl.
Should we get down to business?
Quiet, Jack. Children, what in the depths are you doing with him? Oh, this will never do.
He rescued us.
He said you could show us the way home.
I got maps of every star in the galaxy and hyperspace routes between them all. Where are you from, children?
Let me explain.
Atten. You've heard of it, right?
Atten? Atten?
Wait, Kim! It's true! They're from Atten!
Atten is very interesting. As an astrogation problem.
Is that an app?
No, my dear boy. You see, your home has been purposely hidden from the rest of the galaxy. There is no map to Atat. No, this scroll depicts the jewels of the old Republic. Planets of wonders kept hidden for their protection. Long ago, they were all destroyed, except for one, Atatin. Now only remembered in children's stories, pirate shanties, and rumors believed by fools. But I've always believed.
We need a map.
No, we don't. You're the map.
Precisely. Come, we'll search my archive by astronomical feature. Even if it takes all night long, we'll find your planet. Your planet's special in all the galaxy?
Nothing. It's totally boring.
Any nearby planets?
In school we learn about Coruscant and Alderaan.
Alderaan? Missed the war, did you?
What war?
Fascinating.
Part of the great work is that we're supposed to stay inside the barrier.
Great work? Barrier? Tell me, what does this barrier look like?
You see it at night. It's cloudy, like a swirl.
Aha! Nebular gases. Perhaps that's why the planets remain hidden.
Does this narrow it down?
Oh, yes. It's only 10,000 worlds.
10,000?
We'll carry on until we've picked your little brains clean.
This is never gonna work.
But Vern, we've already eliminated 99.99%.
What? What's that symbol? Here, on your rucksack.
Because I'm head of the class. My mom makes me wear it.
I've never seen Palmerish numerals used in proto-Republic artifacts. We'll cross-reference this with the jewels of the old Republic. Planets and nebulae, our estimated orbital parameters. This may actually work.
You have it? Is that it?
Yes, I... Well, no. No, actually. So many parameters to run.
Yeah, lots of great stuff with that clip. It's just so interesting and fascinating.
The fact one of the best episodes.
the owls explaining to the kids, hey, this your planet you're from, it's like it's a myth. Like your people don't even know where it exists. It's being purposely hidden from the rest of the galaxy. And then she's even asking them, hey, what's so special about the planet? What's going on there? And the kids, from their point of view, it's like, oh, nothing. It's just like a suburban neighborhood. Like for most of us as kids, we would have said that there's nothing special about our hometown, nothing going on there. Little did they know. I mean, of course, like we learn a little further what exactly they do at and why it's so significant to the galaxy, right?
Of course, you know, it ends up being like the ultimate mint factory, the treasury of the old Republic, you know, and that's even clued in early on in the season when the kids actually before they meet Jod, you know, they pay, they're at the bar and they pay with an actual freshly clean old Republic credit that they all freak out about, and the bartender's like, hey, he's trying to haggle, like, oh, you know, it costs a little more, let me get another one, you know. And that was like I found even that part back then so interesting, like, oh, because you know they're kind of little, like, they're teasing you, right? They're breadcrumbing you along the way, and then you get this big splurge of just info drop from what's the owl lady's name? I forget. Sorry, we just heard the clip, guys. I swear to God. But you know, she info drops a lot, and you know, kind of brings it together if you were like kind of watching the episodes. And it's so nice to like see things like that, like, you know, worlds that were forgotten are now being remembered again, etc. And for the kids, they didn't even know there was like a war. Who knows how many wars they don't know about, you know, because of the history that could be so skewed on their planet up until this point in the season, right? We don't know why they only know it a certain way. But yeah, I really did enjoy that aspect, and I really thought she had a double angle here too. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't trust her at all. You know, in the galaxy is so dangerous, everyone's kind of out for themselves. I really thought she was holding out on purpose for her own benefits that I thought would be a thing, you know, moving forward. But either way, Jod was ultimately the guy we pay attention to.
No, you're right. In fact, it was interesting that it kind of kept you guessing because, like, when she's like, you know, we only kind of just glazed on it just briefly, but she's like stalling to keep the
She
kids
did
there.
fall,
Yeah, and
yeah.
I'm thinking that okay, if she's stalling, so the pirates can so she can call them to come and help. But she was actually, in fact, calling New Republic X-Wing fighters to come and help
Indeed,
because she
yeah.
doesn't trust Jod at all for his pirate. So it kind of left you guessing, like, who can you trust in this type of thing? Makes it
Exactly.
very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because up until that point, I thought just like, you know, Star Wars is one of the main things of Star Wars is redemption. So at this point, I'm thinking, nah, it's probably her. That's going to be the one that's bad, not him. It's too soon in the season, per se. But yeah, it was really good scene.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So the kids are on the run with Jod again, and they go to another planet, yet another planet. So again, true, they're going planet hopping, trying to find more clues as to how to actually get to the proper coordinates for Adaten. And they get to arrive at to like this like resort type planet, which is kind of fun and cool to see too, from episode 5, which I think was actually my favorite episode of the whole series. Even more so than the finale. But the finale I love too. But episode 5 of the show was just filled with so many cool, funny aspects to the story and so many cool, interesting things to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, Star Wars, well, casinos and gangsters spending splurges of money and having, you know, some cantina music along the way. So it was really nice to get that.
Yeah, and then speaking of the cantina gangster music and stuff like that, I love the scene where like this like a Hutti species, so a Jabba species character who's getting food delivered to him, little tiny
Heck yeah.
creature, and then
It
he
was
cuts off the food and
awesome.
like, no, I'm gonna eat you instead.
Yes.
No, sir, not again. No, please, no. Not again.
Oh, I'm
And the
glad
guy's
you
like,
brought
no,
that
no,
up.
not again. Don't eat me again.
Leave it to a Hutt to be a jerk no matter what.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so great. And then, so I want to dive into another scene from that clip. So Jod is recognized by another female pirate who knows him by a never different name. So I mean, he's going by so many different names on the
Oh,
show.
yeah.
And then, so she's calling in her pirate buddies, Brutus, the wolf pirate, and the other guys to come and help to catch Jod. And then Jod's in the hotel room with the kids, like trying to explain to them the gravity of the situation. Hey, we got to find these coordinates and get out of here. And the
Right.
kids are just being kids in a hotel room, which is really funny. So let's go ahead and dive into the scene.
No. Listen, that nice lady is a ruthless bounty hunter with a bad grudge. Most likely, she's already called my name in.
Wizard! This place is like a palace!
Captain will be in a fearsome temper if he saw this. I mean, a buffet!
Oh, man.
We have to assume someone is coming after us. We have to move fast. In and out, if Renner's lair is even still here.
Tis here. The outside may have changed, but the lair is deep in the heart of the mountain. All who enter face ruin and slaughter.
Fine, great. How do we get in?
Through what they called the spa. But I know he marked the entrance with his sigil, thusly.
So he's split into teams and sir. Are you listening to any of this?
Yes, we're listening.
Oh yeah, what did I just say?
Are you listening to any of this?
A crew of murderous pirates is coming. Do you understand? We have to move fast.
But why are they so mad at you anyway?
And why does Pocket hate you?
What happened between you two?
Yeah, why can't you just say sorry?
This is idiotic. We have to hurry. We're gonna split into two teams and search the spa.
I can't go down there.
You worried about corrosion from the steam?
No. It just grosses all.
It's okay. It's okay. You can take the sensory gymnasium.
You take the sensory gymnasium, Professor Gorlocks. I'm searching the spa.
And I must go with my captain.
Fine. 33, Fern, Wim, you're one.
No, I'm
And we wanted to search the buffet.
We're not searching the buffet.
KB should be on my team.
No, it doesn't matter whose team who is on. We're doing it. We're going to do it before we get killed by pirates. Am I clear? Find the symbol. Find At-Aten and hope that dear, lovely Pocket hasn't called in your bounty.
Zenton, Silvo, whatever you call him, I'm claiming your bounty.
Where is the cowardly wretch?
Here's the coordinates. Now about my payment.
You'll have your payment when I have Silvo. I'm sending two ships. And keep this quiet.
I wouldn't dream of breathing a word to anyone. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, it's so funny to me that when a dire situation like that, where, you know, John's like worried for his own life that, hey, the pirates are coming after us, we need to get going, and the kids find themselves in a fancy hotel, of course they want to jump on the bed and have a pillow fight.
Of course, man. It's Home Alone, man. You're lost in New York and you don't care right now.
Yeah.
that was solid. And right away, like that other character too, you know, you meet her right away. She fly about it, but she had beef with John. You know, she calls him a different name. He has like four different names.
Yeah,
but you know, right away we knew like she's gonna call you know, his former shipmates that betrayed him earlier on. Yeah, like Brutus and them. So, man, the two episodes on that planet, really good.
Oh yeah, and actually going to the Brutus and his band of, like, you know, pirates and stuff too. It actually was kind of cool that they cast Julia White as one of the pirates. I don't know if you
Oh my gosh, yes, dude. What? Actually, I didn't catch it at first. I don't know why it didn't click. But my wife goes, "Is that Urkel?" And then I'm like, "Wait, what?" And then I had to go back. You know, you rewind a little bit. I'm like, "Oh my god, there he is." You know, it was really cool. Just, you know, we all see cameos in Star Wars, but it was just one of those not expecting it at all. So to see him come back, it was great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So they go to the spa and they find the hidden tunnel way that they're looking for in order to find the coordinates for At-Aten. And we get into really, like, you know, it's definitely paying homage to the Goonies, like the fact that they're finding skeletons. It's booby trap.
Yeah.
Like a really spooky, like awesome kid adventure type of thing that we saw from the 80s so many times. So this episode was really enjoyable and fun to watch.
Yeah, like, all the way down to that monster they meet, like, towards the end of the cavern or whatever it is, like, underneath. Like, it was really cool. Like, definitely, if you're a fan of Goonies, like, this was so on point, so on the mark with everything. You know, the adventure, finding the treasure, finding the little clues to get there. It was really good.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I do want to insert another scene now. So finally, they find the treasure and they get to more of like finding out exactly what is going on at At-Aten. As you already hinted, it's the mint for the Old Republic, and we finally get to see the true colors for Jod. So let's go ahead and insert this scene here.
The treasure. Is it really on the planet? Is it on At-Aten? Is it real?
Treasure is mentioned in the captain's log.
Let me see the old devil.
I have the ship, clad in armor and ready. But my crew still doubts At-Aten is real.
What's wrong with the picture?
Quiet, all hands, to seize the treasure. No one knows it is the last Old Republic mint.
That's enough. Republic mint.
It's a mint again?
It's where they make money.
Make money? You can have infinite money.
Whoa! I guess it is the planet of eternal treasure.
Jod, remember what you promised. You take us home, you get a fair reward, right?
Yeah, we still have a deal, right?
I invoke my right to challenge the captain as per the code.
What?
The challenge is thrown. Hand-to-hand combat to the death.
What? 33?
I'm sorry, Captain. I must follow the pirate's code.
To say you yield.
and I won't have to hurt you. To say you yield. Yield, and I won't hurt you. Just say you'll yield.
John, no!
I'm really sorry about this, I really am. You have to actually say it.
You're a grown-up! You can't fight us, we're just kids!
Not fair. Careful, Wynn. It's not one of your stories. Come on. Say it!
Are you
okay? I'm sorry, Fine. Jod is the victor. Orders for Captain Jod.
We need another way out. First, take this little prisoner. Charges. Mutinous intent against their captain.
33! No!
I'm sorry, kids. Captain's orders.
Yeah, really intense scene right there. And
yeah.
Goes along the lines of like a lot of these movies that, you know, have the kids involved as the lead actors. They see themselves thrust into an adult world and then they find themselves way over their heads in certain situations such as this one, right?
Yeah, it's just like their luck as kids finally ran out. You know, it was like that string of, you know, luck and just being right circumstances, you know, especially with 33, which I really like this droid. Mm-hmm. You know, 33 really helped them along the way. I mean, did majority of the work to get them where they got to go. But Jod, you know, he just placed himself where he needed to be until he was just ready to pounce. And that was the scene where he finally showed his colors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you had hinted at it before. So we finally find out the secret of Ad-Atten, that it's a secret Old Republic mint. And it would make sense why the Republic wanted to keep it hidden from the rest of the galaxy. Hey, this is where we print our money and we can print an unlimited amount, not like, you know, current economics today. I don't want to get into like a discussion about inflation and stuff, but but basically they can print out their own unlimited amount of, like, you know, those gold credits. And it's always has maintained its value and never loses its value. So these pirates of the galaxy definitely would want to get their hands on this. So it makes sense why the Republic would go to such great lengths to keep this thing hidden, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and to a greater extent, you know, just like a side thing, as for those like that are remembering this series or those curious about it going into it for the first time, as you go about it, you know, when we just mentioned in one of the episodes, you know, Ad-Atten is one of many planets from the Old Republic. And Ad-Atten is the sole surviving planet. And it always makes you wonder if there's ever like some comic or book or even a visual content, like a show or even a movie where they talk about these other planets. It makes you wonder, like, what happened? What was the cause of their destruction? You know, was it something that the Old Republic had to do to protect its secrecy, or was it more than that? So it's really the importance of Ad-Atten to that point in the story, and even to when I'm sure the New Republic discovers it, you know, it's like, whoa, like, you're out there, you know. So it's really cool to finally get that little bit of myth and legend coming out to fruition.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then another important aspect to consider is, I mean, we haven't touched on it too much yet, or actually not really at all, but the parents are worried for their kids, but at the same time, they kept it a secret from their kids this whole time. So they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were part of the great work that basically we didn't really touch on it too much, but the kids in school are learning to become analysts, financial accountants, things of that nature, because they're learning to work how to work with the money in order to continue to print it out, to get it in circulation, mm-hmm. and they keep everything hidden a secret. In fact, they're kind of oblivious to what's going on in the rest of the galaxy. As mentioned, they had no idea that there was a galactic civil war. They have no idea that Alderaan as a planet was destroyed. So they kind of kept themselves like sheltered from the rest of the galaxy for what they perceived to be their own self-preservation, right? In order to not stick their necks out so they won't get in. It reminds me of like the Hobbit, right? Or Lord of the Rings, when they say the hobbits are, they don't want to concern themselves with the troubles of man. So don't stick your neck out and you won't get in any trouble.
Yeah. Solid parallel to this. That's, you know, I was thinking like something else as we get into it, you know, in this episode, but that is, I'm saying, I didn't even think about that is solid. But yeah, the way hobbits act, their philosophy of how they go about things, maybe even, you know, as we kind of seen from the other series, not to diverge too much, but Harfoot's into the hobbits and why mm-hmm. they settle. And I'm sure there's a reason for it, is probably this. It's along the same veins as this, you know, protect the ignorance is bliss, right? Until a certain age. And it always, they always kind of left those little mysteries, you know, oh, you're starting to do this, you know, what that tests to qualify you for whatever it is you need to test for. Well, you know, in grade school, to then put you into a specific role later on, you know, the great work. What is the great work? You know, why wouldn't you be able to see stars in the sky? You know, things like that. You didn't catch it. A lot of it was scenic, but as we got to learn, you know, down the road in the series, like it all kind of comes into fruition of why the parents are freaking out, you know, because they know there is a dangerous galaxy out there that the kids are clearly oblivious to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I want to dive into that a little bit more now. So we're going to jump into the final episode, episode 8, which again is another fantastic episode. So if I were to pick three favorites, it'd probably be the first episode that sets up the whole thing, episode 5, and then the finale, episode 8. So we're going to dive into this episode now. So Jod, you know, finally convinces the pirates, hey, I found this, the ultimate score. It's an old Republic mint. They print unlimited gold. We can get there and get in. They find the loophole of getting in through the kid's spaceship that actually can get through the barrier. So then John catches his plan in order to get the other pirates through, and he convinces Fern's mom that he's an emissary. So he's playing a double role right now to try and get them to hatch his plan to let them the other pirates in. So when Fern and her mom are having a conversation, it's very interesting because Fern kind of like talks about the idea and concept of like, you know, we kept all this hidden from you kids. And then Fern, I her response is very fascinating. So I want to dive into that. So let's go ahead and dive into the scene here.
The barrier was supposed to protect you from this. It was supposed to keep you safe from the galaxy.
And now we have to do something. Yeah, the galaxy is scary and dangerous. Everywhere we went. Even the worst places. There were good people too. People that can help us.
Yeah, it's a short scene, but I think it's very important and very poignant too. So the fact that the mother is explaining to her daughter Fern, hey, I mean, this whole thing was set up to keep you guys safe. You know, we were going to shelter you, protect you from the outside world so that you never have to deal with stuff like this. But then Fern tells her mom, hey, I mean, yes, the galaxy is full of ugly, disgusting, terrible things, but there's lots of good in the galaxy too. So I think it's an interesting concept to consider, because we look at our own lives where we can't be sheltered. We actually have to be out in the world and amongst the bad, but again, there's so much good that's out there too. So again, I like that parallel, that they're relating a relatable parable to real life in a Star Wars show.
Yeah, like honestly, that's a really good, I'm glad you picked that one. I mean, there's beauty in imperfections, right? So like this, another thing that we've heard throughout Star Wars is, you know, hope is the start of rebellion, you know, the hope in something as long as there's light, you know, there's a chance, you know. So no matter what, you know, throughout the galaxy, yeah, it's crazy, especially for a kid out there, you know. But for them, and for her specifically, Fern, because she's, you know, she's the leader of the group. I mean, that's the way I've always seen it. Like, she grew so much from thinking about herself to thinking about others. And just to recognize that truth about the galaxy, I mean, she brings that mindset to her mom, who up until that point, her mom is like, you know, she's the essentially like the people that everyone looks up to. You know, she's actually the leader there, but because she's only lived one type of life, she's limited on just her mindset of like, what is true fear versus true strength in terms of a bad situation. And Fern has seen it all already. She's telling her mom, no, there is still a chance. You can't just cave, because her mom was caving, which I was so surprised about that. Like, wow, she's really caving right now. But she finds that strength from Fern to just remind herself, like, no, step it up. You are who you are. Don't forget that. Even in this moment with John having such an advantage over us, there's still a way out of this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I loved it again, as you just mentioned, that dramatic scene between mother and daughter, which I thought was really fantastic and great. But the whole episode's actually chock full of, like, you know, really comedic and action packed and dramatic scenes like that. So I think it made the conclusion so satisfying because of that. And then it's funny too. So Jod's kind of taken over the planet. All the other characters are under like house arrest, as it were. And Wynn is trying to communicate with Neil. And then one of the robots, the droids, comes in and like saying, who are you communicating with? And then Wynn just busts out his toys. Like, he's like pretending to play with them. Like, you know, oh, Princess Fern.
Neil,
where are you? Neil, I need help. Where are you?
I'm home, but I'm being watched by the droids. I can't talk, or Jod will know. I gotta go.
No, Neil, we need to save Fern. Neil, please help.
All communication will be reported to the emissary. Who are you speaking to?
Oh, come on, we need to save Princess Fern. Oh, okay, Wynn.
It just reminded me of Spaceballs when Darth Helmet's playing with his toys. It's just so funny.
Oh my gosh, you did not bring up. Yes, dude, yes.
Lord Helmet, what? You need it on the bridge, sir. Knock on my door. Knock next time. Yes, sir. Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good.
And then they attach their plan in order to break the barrier down so that they can call the X-Wing, or call the owl to call her X-Wing friends.
Yeah.
And they're riding on the speeder bikes, and like, it's paying homage to E.T., the scene when the kids are riding away from the police. So again, just those images and like homages that they play in this show, which is fantastic and really exciting to watch, I feel.
Yeah. And a little reference to it also, which we've kind of seen in a similar situation, Rogue One, you know, when they're on Scarif, they got to break down that barrier to get that signal out, to get the plans out, you know, for the Death Star. So it just those little like repeated things, like, they work if you put it in the right situation. And I'm glad they brought something like that back. It was nice to have like the little reference too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, I had a random question for you too now, Eddie. So they're able to call the help and get the X-Wings to come in to the barrier. They bring down the barrier, so it's open now for everyone to come in. The X-Wings fly in and they take out the pirate ships. But then we see B-Wings in action, right? In your Star Wars fandom, are you familiar with the spacecrafts in Star Wars pretty much? Or is it kind of more for me, even though I love Star Wars, I have to admit my knowledge on the spacecrafts is kind of somewhat limited.
Yeah, no, the B-Wings, I was surprised they used B-Wings. I haven't seen B-Wings in a long time. So it's a very uncommon used ship, even though it's been used in the whole Age of Rebellion time of Star Wars.
Okay, yeah.
So they brought it back, and I'm glad they kept the concept of the New Republic. Just, you know, bear with me, guys, for just like a quick 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. New Republic at this time is... we just won the Empire. We just won the Battle of Jakku. We're in a time of peace. We don't need all this military, Princess Leia. So we're not going to fund brand new ships like the way you see like a Naboo ship to then an X-wing ship, as you see it evolve, you know, in that 30-year time span. Why did the ships like just kind of stop and stall on into a stagnant design? And that's why we see B-wings and Y-wings and X-wings still, even after they won against the Empire. It's just they were not being funded because they believed we already won. We don't need to worry about these issues. As we then know in episode 6, 7, 8, that's not the case. But yeah, the B-Wing's coming back. I'm glad they're reusing that concept and reminding us that, yeah, just to kind of link things together that, you know, you're going to see these old ships in this new era because the New Republic just wasn't really supportive of the military defense at that time.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I get that. Okay, yeah. So what I had learned from my research is that this was like the first time we're really getting to see the B-Wings in action. And that was pretty cool. Like they have like their all 4 points of the ship combined into one massive laser beam. And then the two of them firing together at the same time completely demolishes the pirate ship, which was a really cool scene to see.
Yeah. They have they just kind of, a nice reference would be like for those who've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, in the first one, you have like a whole bunch of like the ships kind of unify to do one big shield, Star Wars concept, but with a weapon, they unify to actually shoot a laser to do a stronger hit, pretty much. But big in the comics. Definitely big in the comics.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool that the whole show was really kind of centered around the kids and their exploration adventures for like a treasure hunt or actually, well, more specifically, how to find the coordinates to get home. But then we do get that Star Wars action at the very end where a space battle where you can see the B-Wings in action. So again, for me personally, because the spaceships are cool. I wouldn't say I'm a massive fan of it, but for those who are hardcore fans of the spaceships, I think that was a cool scene for them to see.
It was gratifying. I'm not going to lie. Just like since we're just talking about the spaceships, like it was just nice seeing that always come back. And I'll be honest, just like a whim, anytime I see an X-Wing, it's still an ooh and ah moment for me. Like, oh man, like there it is. And I lived through all the kids' eyes in some point in my life, right? So I think we all have had a little bit of Fern in us, a little bit of women, especially Neil in us. You know, even KB, you know, like she had a great episode and some solid scenes when she was on that luxury planet. But like, it's always nice to see, like, when you see certain little objects in Star Wars, let's say like an X-Wing, you kind of take it in for a second, like, oh man, there's the X-Wing because of what it represents. Truly, X-Wings represent something in Star Wars. I mean, we can go back to Luke and so on, but it's always nice seeing that and just hearing the whooshing sound of it. It's sounds so real. I wish it was.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Okay, so one more scene that I want to enter to close out the podcast. So we get to, you know, so Jod's been defeated, but we get to learn a little bit more of his backstory, which is really cool. So up to this point, we hadn't really learned much about his previous life when he was young. So we're going to hear an interesting story kind of depicting the way, why he's the way he is, why he looks at the world, the galaxy in a more cynical way, as opposed to a more optimistic way that the kids see things. So let's go ahead and enter this web.
Guys, no one's coming to save you, boy. Grow up! That's not...
When I was your age, all I cared about was not starving. I was living in a hole in the ground, and a Jedi found me. She may have been desperate and ragged like me, but she told me I had potential. And that was... Well, she only taught me a little before they hunted her down, and they made me watch whilst they killed her. That's the galaxy. It's dark, with a few pinpricks of light. And for those...
Yeah, so it's very fascinating. Like, you know, God's telling the story that when he was a young kid starving, you know, probably, you know, orphaned, homeless, was took in by a Jedi. And I'm assuming because of Order 66, the Jedi who took him in was murdered and killed right in front of him. And it leads me to think, like, you know, who could the Jedi have been? I mean, I did a little research afterwards. Apparently, it was no one major. Apparently, there was someone who was filmed to film scenes for the show that I guess her scenes were actually cut from the show itself. But I have to find that YouTube clip and insert it here. But apparently, it wasn't an existing Jedi. It was some random Jedi that we hadn't met who actually saved Jod. But regardless, though, I think it's a very interesting take that he's developed, you know, because someone who's so close and important to him was murdered in cold blood. He developed that cold-blooded like mentality and attitude towards the galaxy, right?
Do we know the Jedi that saved Jod? No, we don't. But we do know some scenes with her were shot. Actor Yasmeen Al-Masri posted some behind-the-scenes shots of her in a Jedi costume, saying she was in one cutscene for Skeleton Crew. I have to assume that she would have been playing the Jedi who helped Jod. So we know it would have been a new character and not a familiar face. John Watts and Christopher Ford confirmed the Jedi's death took place after the events of Revenge of the Sith, so she was likely hunted down by Inquisitors. I'm bummed for Al-Masri that she didn't get the chance to appear on screen, but I do understand why the scene was cut. Fingers crossed she gets the Genevieve O'Reilly treatment down the line, first popping up in deleted scenes, only to return for a more significant role later. Maybe a second season could explore Jod's history more.
Yeah, I think one of the phrases he uses, you know, pinprick of light is all that is in the galaxy. Everything else is darkness. And I think, yeah, as you're referencing here, like, this Jedi was already on the run from Order 66. That Jedi showed up as ragged and desperate as he was. And even then, that Jedi's desperation, whoever, you know, just a random Jedi that just happened to survive long enough to meet him, you know, still try to give hope and good to this kid who was already at a desperate moment in their life. And even then, once he's felt that hope, that pinprick of light, that's what I think he's referring to as the Jedi. Darkness came, you know, be it, you know, stormtroopers or whoever took him down, killed that Jedi, and he had to watch. The fact that he mentions that part and that they put that in the story is he had to watch that Jedi die, is just showing of like, this is why not all survivors of the Force, you know, who got to meet a Jedi ended up being good or staying good, because they just saw it things from a different point of view by how they were treated by the galaxy. And I really did like it. I was always hoping that he wasn't gonna change. Now that we're at this point, we can talk about it. I was hoping he wouldn't have a redemption. I think what Star Wars has done enough of is the redemption story. I think it's already been used plenty. I think it's okay to allow these characters to be just who they are. And Jod was always that sly, double-crossing guy who happened to know some tricks when he was young, but he never developed. He never got to explore that because he was never shown more. You know, he shut down because of the trauma in his life. So it was really cool to just, like, get that type of character. And, you know, Jude Law just sold it, man. He was fantastic in that role.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's not enough great things I can say about this show. The show was just so fantastic from start to finish. I mean, really, really enjoyable. The wonder and amazement and excitement of Star Wars is definitely back with this show. But I do feel that we need to discuss the elephant in the room, as it were, and not talking about Neo, but talking about the fact that the show reportedly has done among the poorest in streaming numbers for Star Wars shows. Have you heard that about the Skeleton Crew?
I did. And I did because I like to just kind of follow just, you know, news outlets like that talk about movies and shows and progress of them. Even as we were watching it, it was already one of the lowest. One of the, you know, it always starts high, but it's just one of the lowest as the season went. And generally, it's just one of those things where we have to just see it from this angle, at least for me, at least consider it, I should say. Is it's coming off a show like Ahsoka that did not end well at all for most people, right? I'll say it like that. I forgot about that one. So Acolyte to then, or Ahsoka then to Acolyte. And the problem is that it was just facing a mountain of skepticism because
is Disney finally going to provide a good Star Wars show outside of Mandalorian season 1, 2? I still contend that Andor is the best thing that Disney has done. But that's just my point of view. But what I'm saying is that in the general audience, it's just not been a great experience, unfortunately. So regardless of quality or not in this show, good or bad, it was never going to get that attention because of the attitude towards Star Wars right now. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, and I, for those who listen to this episode, I implore you to give it a shot. It is honestly such a breath of fresh air. It really does hit the marks of why we love Star Wars in terms of, like, if you've seen Star Wars for the first time as a kid under 12 years old, this is, and you remember those feelings of it and you fell in love with Star Wars, this is the show. It really does hit those marks for you that you can watch it with your nieces and nephews who are young. And this is a great intro to Star Wars world for sure. So hopefully word of mouth changes the attitude of it so that the next show, whichever that could be, I think will actually benefit from the positivity of this show, because I don't think anyone's saying it sucks. It's just no one's seeing it because of the bad experiences of the other series. That's just my kind of opinion on it.
No, that's perfectly said. I 100% agree with you. And the show was just, I'm going to just give it a glowing review, just how much I really enjoyed it. And I totally agree with your sentiments that there could be fans who are maybe turned off by what's gone on recently with Lucasfilm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, true, my reach on this podcast isn't super deep. I mean, I have a handful of loyal listeners. So anybody who's listening to this, I mean, I definitely give it my highest recommendation. It sounds like Eddie does as well. So yeah, definitely check out The Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, you will not be disappointed. And even in general, if you're even a Spielberg-esque type fan and you like that those 80s movies, especially like the kid movies that were so huge into the early 90s, this is definitely along those same veins, and you're gonna enjoy it for sure.
Awesome. Well, that's all the talking points I had tonight. Was there anything else you wanted to discuss? I mean, the show is so great. We kind of touched on the parts that I thought was kind of the most important, but there could have been other parts that if you want to discuss really quick, we can do that.
No, honestly, I think just we hit all the bigger highlights. I think, yeah, there's little smaller things, especially Neil's adventure. KB, I really did enjoy her scenes. I felt like her background and why she is who she is, what it meant for her surviving kit that she has installed on her. Is there, you know, why it's there? I really, really love the development of why the kids acted the way they did and how they all like unify even stronger towards the end. I think we really did touch on that stuff like very well. But why spoil it? If you haven't seen it, this is a show to watch. Like, it really is. And, you know, this really set me up in a nice, happy way for Andor season 2 that's coming out in a couple months. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. So I think it's a great way to get us back into liking Star Wars, the shows, right? Mm-hmm. I know the movies are another thing, but at least the shows, the nice positive thing to go into for Andor. I think Andor is going to benefit a lot from this.
Oh, very cool. I hope that's tends to be the, I hope that's the way it goes. Cause as you mentioned, yeah, the Skeleton Crew might have suffered because of the previous show, The Acolyte. So we'll see how things go. But
yeah,
So that's The Acolyte. I mean, anything else? Are we good to wrap up?
I think so. Unless there's something to bring up for the next one, man. I think this is good. It's a wrap. Awesome, present awesome. Wrap with the bow.
Well, thank you, Eddie. I always enjoy our talks, and geeking out about so much great stuff like this is always so much fun. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, in 2025, there's going to be so much cool content to discuss.
So much content.
So a new Superman movie, which looks fantastic, but then there's going to be some notable Batman movies that are celebrating awesome anniversaries, like Batman Begins and even Batman Forever. So I definitely want to get in touch with you this summer to talk about this.
Cool, I would love to talk about Batman Begins. Anything Batman in general. I mean, DC, a lot of movies are coming out now that the strikes are finally done, right, from the year before. Everything's catching up. Yet last year was just kind of a reset button for all the studios. So going into this, we're gonna get a lot of shows, a lot of movies, and I definitely look forward to coming back for any of the topics.
Awesome. Thanks for your time, Eddie. And again, everybody, watch The Skeleton Crew. I'm gonna say it again, watch The Skeleton Crew. It's just so much fun.
Yep.
Okay.
Force be with you.
Thanks. Okay. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.